So usually we have our monthly check-in with the Connecticut Housing Partners on a Thursday, but as you know, we are doing our first ever diner tour here on Melissa in the Morning all month long, even into July, I think, as well. So we're going to have Renee on for Friday morning because I still have to do our check-ins. I mean, I think it's very important that we keep staying on top of the housing crisis in Connecticut, what we're doing to tackle it. So Renee Dobus is back with us, CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners right here on WACC. Renee, thank you for adjusting your schedule. I really appreciate it, and I'm so glad to have you back on the show. How are you?
I'm very good, and thank you for having me. It's no problem at all, because I do believe, like you do, this is a really important issue, and we need to keep checking in.
I agree. I totally do. So let's start with that, which is, since we last spoke, what would you say are some either, are there any movements going on, any updates for people, or any new information that we can share?
Sure. So even though we've been speaking about Connecticut and the fact that we have 92,500 units of shortage of affordable housing and for our workforce, this is now becoming a national theme. Nationally, we have 3.9 million units short. So there's a couple bills that are floating around in Congress and in the Senate. So Senator Fetterman actually put forth a bill to reduce barriers to housing and other opportunities. And basically what it is he wants to provide technical assistance to all of the municipalities across the country to help them understand the importance of having affordable housing in every municipal community and help them perform the planning and be able to move the needle into the future. Then another bill, which actually passed the House in 2020. It's called YIMBY, which means Yes in My Backyard. And this would, and they're trying to get it through the Senate now. And what this one will do is any municipality who doesn't have a concrete plan to put affordable housing into their community will not be eligible for community development block grants into the municipality. And that's important because a lot of times these block grants are used to do local infrastructure within the municipalities.
Wow. Okay. So that's the Not in My Backyard movement. Is that the connection?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So they're trying to flip it by saying YIMBY, you know, Yes in My Backyard, as opposed to Not My Backyard.
Got it. In the block grants, like, you know, could you give me an idea, just because I only know so much, like a block grant, is there like an example of what you mean by that here in Connecticut? Like, do we have an example of where that was used in it and we, you know, saw something really great come out of it, just so I can understand it a little bit better?
Oh, they could use it for paving the roads. They could use it for, you know, water, sewage infrastructure, you know, anything that the municipality may need.
Okay, I gotcha. So this would mean, basically, if a municipality doesn't have plans in place to create housing opportunities, they would not have access to, like, one of these block grants.
Yes, that's
what
this passes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay.
I know. I'm kind of surprised that there's that political will to be a little bit heavy-handed. So, I found that interesting.
I mean, I'm wondering, though, Renee, and again, we have Renee Dobus here, who is with the Connecticut Housing Partners. I'm wondering if there's also other crises going on, and I'm not sure if you want to weigh in on that, that could also be triggering why there needs to be a heavy federal presence. So, for example, we have a severe shortage of educators. We have a severe shortage of early child care. And I know, like, we've talked to Senator Blumenthal before about this, where I'm like, listen, you know, here in Connecticut, for example, we're going into the fall where we are not only in a severe early child care crisis, but we also are changing the age for kindergarten, like severely changing and impacting thousands of kids. And so when I've talked to him about it, he's like, well, you know, when we want to attract teachers, what's the number one thing that's going to keep them from Connecticut? Housing opportunities. So I think
that's right.
You know, and it's not like Connecticut's the only one struggling with trying to get healthcare workers or trying to get cops or trying to get teachers, for example. So, I mean, at some point you had to see the federal government get involved. Don't you agree?
I do agree. And I think what I'm hopeful is that it will spark our local government to do more and to really pressure the municipalities to, at least have 10% of their housing stock, be affordable for the workforce. I was at an event last night, and this was, the number one topic of conversation was about our workforce. And there were people in the room at this event that were teachers and personal trainers and accountants. And all of them are struggling to find affordable housing. And I think we all know somebody. We all know someone who has a kid who can't leave home yet because they can't afford it. There was actually a young gentleman that was in that particular state, and he felt like he was a burden to his family. And I'm sure his family doesn't feel that he's a burden, but, that's how he's feeling. He wants to start his life. He wants to be independent. And this is a true barrier for that to happen.
Yeah, that certainly is a really good point. And again, Renee Dobis is here, who's the CEO of the Connecticut Housing Partners. CHP has been a nonprofit organization for over 30 years in Connecticut and really tries to create opportunities for workforce housing, especially across Connecticut. So these are a couple of things. Were there others, Renee? I wanted to make sure. Were there other pitches in Washington, D.C. to address this on a national level?
That's all I know nationally, but I can say locally, our House and Senate locally, this was something that I have been advocating for a very long time. I've been calling our local, state representatives and senators because we provide affordable housing, our property taxes are at a market rate. And so we pay a tremendous amount of money in property taxes for our properties. And I'm not suggesting we shouldn't pay any property taxes because, we have people in the community utilizing the resources of the community. But the issue is that if I'm collecting 60% of the rent, I can't pay 100% like a market rate does. So finally, a bill has passed where the assessment for how I'm being taxed will change and will rely on the actual income that the property produces. And you can imagine with affordable housing, the actual income a property produces is very small and very low. So I was very excited to see this. And I'm actually in conflict with a couple different municipalities right now who have assessed my properties very highly and are interested in raising the taxes a lot. So in one town in particular, and I don't want to name the towns, they actually doubled the assessment. How could you double the assessment? So in 5 years, you're saying if the property was worth $1 million 5 years ago and now you're saying it's worth $2 million, that's all triggered from inflation and what's happening with the housing costs and things like that. And it's not sustainable. That, things like that could bankrupt a property. And so I was so pleased to see that this finally came out because I was really championing this, really trying to push it forward. This is a start, but there's still much to do.
We are talking about the housing crisis here in Connecticut. Renee Dobis is here with Connecticut Housing Partners. We do a check-in every month to just see what the latest is, because I think this is something that is so important. We've started to do this as well with our education consultants on the show. We have a lot of these localized crises going on. I know it's nationwide as well, but, we're in Connecticut. We want to know what's out there. So Renee Dobis is here. I was curious, Renee, with, you outlined, for example, locally, you were talking about like a new bill being signed into law, looking at assessments for how you're being taxed. I'm curious if there's been any, have you had any feedback, especially as a nonprofit, again, for over 30 years doing great work, putting housing opportunities in communities all across the state. Have you gotten any feedback on overpopulating? And the reason I say that is because in Stamford specifically, that has been a huge concern. I feel, as Mayor Caroline Simmons, I brought this up with her on the show this week. As more and more of these complexes open up, more and more people feel like the city's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And sort of some concerns going on in Bridgeport as well. We're seeing more development happening, for example, like on the Sound. And there are concerns about that. I wasn't sure your thoughts on that or if you've heard anything.
Well, I've heard it's like a two-sided coin.
Sure.
So first of all, I'm sure the mayor has a good understanding of what the housing needs are in the city of Stamford. There's consultants out there. They do market studies and they understand what the population is. But what I'm hearing is that the type of housing that's being built is basically gentrifying the city in a way that it's moving people who can't afford the market rate rent out.
Yes. That was my second question. You knew it. You knew it. You were there. Yep. you and I share one brain, because I think that's the thing. And I know it's kind of the elephant in the room. You and I can talk about it very openly, but I have a very hard time talking to politicians about it, because I understand that these cities are getting these grants and they're building these properties. And again, that's great. But on the surface, it looks like we're creating all these opportunities. But when you look at these complexes that have 80, 90, 100 units and only 10% of them are actually market rate, if you want to call it that, we're really not speaking to the workforce housing needs of that community.
Right.
We're speaking to maybe either the elite or the people coming in from New York City who already make insane amounts of money and are like, hey, I could go somewhere for a little bit less, live in Stamford, then no chaos. It's a lot safer in Connecticut. I'm going to move there. We're just kind of attracting not really what we need per se. I don't know if you agree.
I do agree with that. And, you know, another place that it's happening very rapidly that I don't think a lot of people are aware about is Fairfield. Fairfield is building like crazy with apartments. And, you know, the rents are $4,000 and $5,000 a month. Who can afford that? And you're absolutely right. It's a lot of people commuting back and forth to the city, New York City, and then, coming to them, Fairfield and Stamford are like the suburbs of, New York City. But I am finding that in these urban settings in lower Fairfield County, there is a tremendous amount of building going on. And you're right. It's only 10% of the units are affordable. And what will happen in time is, even though Stamford has more than 10% of their units affordable, the same with the city of Norwalk, eventually that denominator is going to go down, because, 90 and 10 is a very different influx into your unit count as to what you have. So these municipalities have to be careful, and they have to really try to embrace nonprofits like ourselves and encourage us and help us build more affordable housing. But, everything seems to be geared towards market rate developers and the rules that they have. And because at the end of the day, too, you have to look at it from the municipality's point of view. That's tax revenue coming in when they allow these buildings to move in. And they are very hungry for that tax revenue.
No question. But, it is interesting. And I'm wondering if it gets to a point, because I'm kind of waiting for this to happen with colleges. We're looking at college tuition right now. And it's getting to a point. If I can confess to you, Renee, I'm sitting here with my 5-year-old going, you want to go maybe intern with your Uncle Alex? He's a plumber. Why don't you go see what it's like to be a plumber? I mean, I'm sitting here already kind of like sending in the little messages of like, hey, if you don't want to go to college, that's okay. Because my God, your father and I are going to pay this off for the rest of our lives. I mean, I'm waiting for a point where colleges are like, oh my gosh, we are turning away the future because they can't afford it. And like, I'm waiting for that point where they hit the ceiling and then the prices maybe start to come back down. Do you think that'll ever happen in housing? Because you're right, Renee. I mean, listen, if we get to a point where we can't staff our schools or staff our hospitals or have enough patrols, part of our police departments or our fire departments, I mean, these are the backbones of our society. And so if we can't get enough manpower for those jobs because they can't find housing, at some point, I feel like those municipalities have to eat it, or they got to drop the prices, right? I don't know if that's just being naive. I don't know.
Well, I think it's a basic supply and demand factor. As long as the demand's there and these landlords can attract that rent, they're going to do it. And what it will do is our workforce won't be able to live in the community they're working in, so they're forced to move out of that community and travel longer distance, and their quality of life is diminished because they're spending so much time traveling. And, if you're driving an hour to get to work, then all those carbon emissions are going into our air that if they could live in the community they worked in, then, we could think about that too. So there's so many different challenges to this. And so all we can do is keep talking about it, making people aware. And, even in our own state, for the next 3 years in the pipeline, there's only 6,500 units of affordable housing going through the state. We can't rely on the state to help solve this problem. Business people, all big businesses need to understand that they need to help have a viable workforce, because having a workforce that's viable, helps them grow economically. And if they can grow economically, the community can grow economically and the state can grow economically. And, you know, the governor keeps saying it over and over again. The first thing that he's being asked is where are the workers going to live when a new business tries to come into the state? Because the businesses that are looking at our state, they see this problem too. So we don't look very attractive for new businesses coming in. And, you know, we're hearing about businesses leaving. So it's really something we all have to do, and we can't rely on the government to solve it. We, as the people and businesses, we have to come together and solve it ourselves.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And again, Renee Dobis, who is the CEO of Connecticut Housing Partners. If you want to learn more about their organization, it is cthousingpartners.org. Again, cthousingpartners.org. And Renee, I always appreciate our check-ins monthly. Thank you so much. We will talk again really soon.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.